Talking Records Podcast. Talking Records Podcast. Talking Records Podcast. We talk about our favorite records. Talking Records Podcast. We're so glad you tuned in. Thank you all for listening. You showed up to the right place. Jed and his friends dive deep and analyze the records we have grown to love. We'll tell you how we found the band, then give you a track by track breakdown of all the songs. So grab your favorite beverage and pull up a seat. Today we'll look at another record in its entirety.
Hello, welcome to Talking Records. My name is Jed, and today I'm joined by my friend Lara to interview Tane from the band Tightwire. Welcome back to the show, Lara.
Oh, hey, Jed. Thanks for having me back. It's been 3 years almost since we last recorded.
I can't believe that. When you said that earlier, I was like, 3 years?
I know. Where's it gone? Like, so much has changed since then. Like, I've got a cat now. Yeah. A cat, you know, like, I always wanted a dog, but I've got a cat. But, yeah, how have you been? Anyway, it's been, like, so long.
I've been great. You know, I'm in summer mode right now, so I'm just coasting through the summer. We've got about a week left. I don't know when this episode will drop, but, you know, at this recording, I am enjoying my last week of summer before I go back to teaching fifth graders, and I've been great.
Good. Last week to catch up on sleep, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Laura, I understand that you are now doing a podcast.
Yeah, I'm doing a podcast with my friend Hannah. We actually met through Instagram. Kind of, we bonded over a love of Courtney Love and Hole. We just wanted to kind of create a podcast that was really centered around women in music, mainly kind of alternative music in the DIY scene, but not just women in bands, also like women who support the scene and maybe create zines or put gigs on or run breweries or whatever. So we're a bit kind of slow on getting the episodes out, but we are kind of trying to focus on getting things kind of like more regular. It's called Pretty on the Inside, so it's obviously a whole song, and it's run by me and Hannah. It's quite lo-fi, so we kind of just have a chat. There's not a lot of editing, mainly because I tried to edit it and I just kind of, it's kind of just got on my nerves. So I was like, oh, it's too much. Yeah, so I was like, oh, I'm just gonna put in the description that we're just a lo-fi podcast, so it's very minimal editing. But if you're interested in kind of supporting that, or interested in women in music or the DIY scene and what women have contributed to that, yeah, just give us a follow. We're on Instagram as well at Pretty on the Inside Pod. That's our podcast.
Well, that's great. It's slow rollout, but I love listening to you guys. I'm so glad you're doing that. It's a great podcast to check out. Absolutely.
Thank you.
On this show, I like to discuss records my friends and I grew up on, but I also like to get right in on newer bands that I've been listening to. So we are going to be talking about Tightwire's brand new album, Head Full of Snakes. Lara, this is a record that I've been really into. I noticed you had posted a shot of it the other day, and I was like, hey, let's talk to Tane. Let's find out about this record.
Yeah, definitely. I love this album. The first song I heard was One Foot in the Grave, and I was like, it was came up on like a generic like Spotify album. Like, I think I was listening to Tilt Wheel, and it was like the Tilt Wheel Radio, and it came up on there, and I was like, what is this band? And so I went on and listened to the album, and I was like, I need to own everything that this band have done. I love it. And then I went back and listened to 6 Feet Deep. That's a perfect album as well. I was like, how is a band got like two perfect albums? Absolutely brilliant. So I love this album. Absolutely brilliant album.
When the streaming services get it right and they play you something you actually want to hear, that's awesome.
They get it right sometimes. Yeah,
they do sometimes. Yeah, I similar, you know, I discovered the band probably around 2018, just through the wonders of the internet, just like, you know, you like just listening and checking things out. And, you know, the song 6 Feet Deep from the album 6 Feet Deep caught my ear, just like the song One Foot in the Grave. Or no, I got that wrong. One Foot in the Grave is not the name of the album. Mm-mm. All right, I'm gonna try that again. Here we go. I discovered the band in 2018 through the wonders of the internet, you know, just listening to stuff and reading about bands. And the song 6 Feet Deep from the album 6 Feet Deep caught my ear. And yeah, I loved it. It was just such a good song. You know, I just got into that, the power melodies and just the fun, you know, can be a little dark, but it can also be like fun at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. And I find like the name Tightwire is like a perfect name for the band. You listen to the songs, the lyrics, like you said, can be quite dark, but it's kind of like almost like toeing like a fine line, like a tight wire, like to keep yourself kind of upright going forward. Like you got things that like you got like heavy drinking, partying, and then like longing for somebody, you know, like love and things like that. So I think Tightwire is a perfect name for the band. So yeah, it was really cool.
That's awesome. This has been my big summer record. It came out on June 6th on Red Scare Industries, and I got it, and it's been my summer record. I love it. I can't get enough of songs like Anyone But You. Such great songs. Yeah, it is like a perfect album, and it's short. You can listen to it twice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Anyone But You, I think, is probably my favorite as well. Either that or I've just got the album in front of me now, or Bad Things as well. But then again, it's like listening to the whole album through, it's like I don't know which one's my favorite song, because every one is my favorite one. Every time it starts playing, it's like, oh no, that's my favorite song. That's my favorite song. But yeah, it's really great. I think if like anyone's like listening hasn't heard it, if you know, you like anything like Teen Idols, Alistair, Alkaline Trio, Direct Hit, any of those sorts of the kind of like pop punk kind of, not necessarily Ramones cool, but Ramonesy kind of sound to it, then yeah, you're going to love Tightwire. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, they fit in well with that crowd. Mm. Well, let's talk to Tane. Let's interview Tane from Tightwire. Tane is the singer bassist, and he'll be joining us today on the podcast. Here we go. Welcome to the podcast, Tane.
Hey.
So, Tane, for people who are new fans, can you just give us like a quick history of Tightwire?
We started around like 2016. We were a band called Drones. It was a project that was mostly an acoustic project by our former member, Paul Kettler. Paul asked Parker Thompson, who plays drums in Tightwire, and myself to play live band, like full band versions of his acoustic songs. And we were all kind of like casual friends through the punk scene. Like we'd been, you know, I think at one point we all lived in like punk houses that put on house shows and stuff like that. And so we just kind of knew each other from there. And then I worked at a venue called the Triple Rock in Minneapolis.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Made famous by the NoFX song.
Yeah. And also was owned by one of the members of the...
Was it Patty?
It was not. It's not Patty. It is Eric Funk. The other, the raspier, more melodic singer.
Yeah, yeah.
I still to this day work for Dillinger 4. Yeah, that project started while I was like at a perfect moment where I was managing the Triple Rock. And then I joined this band with Paul and Parker. We kind of got our start through doing shows at Triple Rock because I managed the place. So like anytime cool bands like the Riverboat Gamblers or, you know, whatever, Dillinger 4 was going to headline, I would be like, hey, Eric, can we open this show? Every member of Dillinger 4 in one way or another have any success that our band has had can be completely associated in some way, shape, or form with the kindness of Dillinger 4. So that's where we got our start. And then, you know, we had a few demos out or EPs through Bloated Cat, which is a cool like indie label in Iowa, who still to this day put out rad fucking records. We recorded our third EP or demo or whatever, and we just weren't feeling that great about it. And I had texted Eric Funk from Dillinger 4. And I was like, hey, you're the one person I trust to like you will. I know you'll tell me if this sucks and we feel like this sucks. And I think I texted him that at like 2 a.m. the night after we got like back from the studio after mixing these songs or whatever. By the time I had woken up, I had a text message from Tobias Jag from Red Scare and Eric Funk saying, like, hey, these songs are rad. I'm going to send them to Red Scare. My text message from Tobias was, or Toby, hey, these songs are fucking rad. Let's put out a record. Call me immediately.
That's great. That's awesome.
and then
you're like, oh, I guess it's good.
Yeah. Like that, I can't emphasize more. Like that night we were listening to him back and we were like, these songs suck. Like all of us were mutually feeling like that, but we had heard, like, that's just kind of the nature of the beast when, like, when you write a song, like, you know, it's like with our new record, Head Full of Snakes, I've been listening to those songs for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, 3.5 years. And we just put that record out. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of bands feel the same way. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because you spend all this time writing so many songs and then you pick like the 12 or the 15 or whatever that you think are the most, that are the like top best. And now they're just coming out. So now I'm going to have to play them for at least another 3.5 years. You know?
And you're like, this song again? It's like you've heard every note, every space between every note many times.
And especially now that like Paul Kettler isn't in the band anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm the only songwriter. Everything is written by me. It comes from my brain and like I'm very excited about it while I'm demoing it. And then when we go in to like record it for real, it's all very exciting. But then like the process of like having somebody mix it, then they send you a mix and you're like, all right, here's the changes I want. And then they send you a new mix and you're like, all right, I want more of these, you know, like really, it's such a tedious, like cumbersome process. By the end of it, you're just like, okay, I'm excited that they sound the way I want, but I've listened to these songs 5,000 fucking times. Okay, so anyways, I have ADHD. So going back, we got signed to Red Scare. Red Scare was like, hey, listen, we like the songs. We're going to put this record out this year, but you have to change your name because there's already a moderately successful band in the UK called Drones. And they were like, you could change it. You could call it Drones MPLS, which is short for Minneapolis.
Yeah.
We entertained that idea for a long time, but we kept trying to come up with band names, but every cool band name that we could think of was already taken.
Punch it into Spotify. Oh, there it is. Oh, God.
I think I still have the list in a Google Doc somewhere of like all these band names that like we wanted to have. And I remember listening to, are you familiar with the band Tilt Wheel?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a pop punk band from San Diego. We love Davey. I don't even know what his health is doing like right now. I know he's going through some health issues. But I was listening to Tilt Wheel and I was like, that's kind of a cool name. And then we were traveling across a bridge, me and my ex-wife. It had all these like wire rods holding it together. And I was like, oh, Tight Wire. And in Tight Wire is not really known in the wire rods that hold bridges together. It's more like the tightrope that tightrope walkers walk on. But I was like, I was listening to Tilt Wheel and I was like, Tilt Wheel's cool. Tight Wire is cool. Tight Wire was just in the mix. Literally a week before we were going to start like putting out press to like announce that we were on Red Scare and all this stuff, we didn't love that band name, but it was just in there. It was one of the only names that wasn't like really stupid that somebody else didn't already have. For a while, I was like pushing for Tom Petty Theft. Like that was a running one. So we had all these joke names and then we had ones where we're like, okay, well, it's not formal. And then it came down to conversation, like again, with one of the members of Dillinger Four, I think it was with Patty. And Patty was like, dude, look at Kiss. Kiss is a terrible band name. But if you have something cool, it doesn't really fucking matter. He's like, he's like, we hate the band name Dillinger Four. Everybody confuses us with Dillinger Escape, man. He's like, it doesn't fucking matter. So just name the band something that no one else has, and if people like you, people will like you.
Smart man, smart man.
Yeah, I know.
Green Day doesn't like their name, so.
Yeah, no, dude. Oh, yeah, what is it, like Blink, Blink?
Yeah, Blink would Blink, and then they had to add the numbers on.
And then they added the 182, and it's just a, like, you watch a million interviews with Mark, and he's like, dude, it's an obscure number, but there's like a million folklore, you know, or wives' tales about it. It's like, oh, that's the number of like fucks that were said in Scarface or whatever. But it's literally just a random number. And that's all our name is just a random thing that no one else had that sounds sort of okay. We all hate the band name, but we love playing the music.
I know you mentioned kind of like you had the songs for like 3 years and you've only just recently put them out. But do you have like a sort of writing process that you go through, or is it just kind of like getting all your ideas out on the page in one go? Because I'm not a songwriter, and I've always like wanted to be. And I love the songs that have come out on the new album. So I'd like to know kind of like how you all went about getting them down.
Yeah. First of all, what's your cat's name?
Oh, this is Suki. Yeah.
Suki!
I don't have a door on my music room, so I knew she'd come in at some point. So she's off now. Yeah, she's a bit grumpy.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it.
She'll be back.
Sorry, I'm just a massive animal fan. I just love all animals. Yeah, so the writing process is really, it's straightforward, but it's also weird. So I am by trade a live sound engineer and a music producer. So my biggest fascination lies in like producing music, like the production and the coming up with the weird intricacies that happen. For our first record, it was very straightforward. It was two guitars, bass, and drums. And it like the traditional way that a song is written is typically like the songwriter in the band or the two songwriters in the band get together with acoustic guitars, at least in like a rock or like punk or whatever setting, one or two people with acoustic guitars kind of working out the formula of that song. Sometimes it starts with the lyrics and you kind of write around the lyrics, or it starts with a guitar lick and a melody, and then in which you write the lyrics around that. Both happen in Tight Wire songs. Like what I try to do is at least a few times a week, I just sit there with my notebook and I write down like lines that I think are interesting, or, you know, something I could try to build a concept of a song around. And so that's like the songwriting aspect. It either always starts with a guitar lick and a melody idea, where your melody is like you doing like vowel sounds. You know, you're like, you know, and you're like, all right, I need to write words that mean something to me with those amount of syllables. Or you wake up and, you know, like the song Out of It, which is a Tight Wire song. I woke up one night after partying. I think Paul Kettler, because we have another member named Paul in the band now. Like, he was like, hey, how you feel, buddy? And I was like, dude, I'm so out of it. And then he literally started going, I'm so out of it. I'm so out of it. I'm so out. You know, like, and I was like, oh, we should make that a song. So sometimes it just like happens just like weirdly like that.
It made it sound really easy. That's the only thing. So everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, you just put words to music. It's like, yes, but what's the secret to it? I can't do it.
No, but
that's cool.
The thing about it is, like, it's not easy. It's frustrating and it's tedious. What it comes down to is, like, you're probably going to write 100 songs over time. Like, you do the time test. So, like, a lot of my stuff is starts out as like a idea that I record into my voice memos on my phone. Yeah, you write 100 songs and maybe like 13 of them at the end, like when all is said and done. You have to learn to not get extremely married to every artistical idea. It's like if you were a painter, you'll probably throw away 90% of your paintings and keep those few. A lot of times, the ones that you keep, you kind of make them in like 15 minutes. You know, that's like, so I'm the drum and bass tech for a band called Semisonic. If you don't know the band, it's the band that sings Closing Time.
Dun, oh, yeah.
So, and I've been working with them, and I've been I talk to them all the time about songwriting. And that song was written in 15 minutes. And they're like, it's so frustrating because we know we're a one-hit wonder band. All of our other songs, we spent days and hours and weeks and months trying to create these songs that we cared about so much. And the one song we're known for is a song that we just like pulled out of our asses in 15 minutes.
That must be infuriating.
Yeah, yeah.
So Tane, along the way, along the process, you lost a Paul, but you gained a Paul, and you also gained a Noel. So tell us about the new members of Tightwire.
Of course. I don't think we would still be a band if quarantine didn't happen. Because this all happened during quarantine. Paul Kettler was our founding member. And I'm not trying to like talk to inside baseball here. I know he might not love this if I say it, but I'm going to say it anyways. Fuck it. We always knew he fucking hated touring. We would get back from a tour. It would be a success in Parker and I's eyes. But he would be like, dude, he's so much of a routine guy. At least that's my perception of it. He just fucking hated touring. So every tour we came back from, he would be like, I never want to do this again. I'm sorry. I don't mean to let you down. And then we'd get another cool tour offer. And it would just be so cool. And then he would come around to it. COVID happened. I got a phone call with him, like from him. So during most of quarantine, I was living in Boston with my now ex-wife. I remember he called me somewhere around the holidays. And he was like, homie, I'm going back to school and I'm not coming back to Tightwire. I just don't want to do it. I remember the exact moment I was sitting there. I was playing like a video game. Like I think I was playing like I had just purchased Doom Eternal for if anybody cares about video games that listens to this podcast. And I literally remember taking it with a grain of salt. I was like, you've said this a million times before. Like all in my head. Like I remember just like holding the phone to my ear while I was playing video games, which is like a douchey thing to admit. But I was like, yeah, dude, totally, whatever, that's cool. And in my head, I was like, you're going to fucking come back because we're going to get a rad tour offer. And we have all these new song ideas that we're about to record. Not knowing that that was the actual time of his for real, like, oh, no, I want to depart from the band. But anyway, so he departed from the band. We're still homies. Four of the songs on the new record are Paul Kettler songs that we just slightly reconfigured and either had Noel or Noel and myself sing. Any of the songs that you hear Noel singing primarily, it was probably a Paul Kettler song. But yeah, then like all that happened and then we had so much time to really think about it. And like we were still being hopeful that like Paul was just going to be like, ah, never mind, I want to come back. So it was like such a weird transitionary period where we didn't think about it much. But Parker and I started recording this new record over COVID. And we were like, well, let's see what we can do without Paul. And the songs just started to come together. and some of them were written after that. And we decided to keep doing it. And we did sit down with Paul and we were like, hey, we know this was originally your project, so it feels weird that we want to try to continue it. Red Scare is liking these songs. They're telling us they want to put out a new record. Would you take offense if I became the front man? We did this without you. And he was like, absolutely not. I don't want to take anything away from you guys. I just want to fucking do what I want to do. We had just like this like extended amount of time to process it, where like no one was demanding anything from our band because shows weren't happening. The funniest thing about it is we started out, like the first show we played back, we had four guitar players.
Four.
Yeah, because I one night drunkenly, like after having this conversation with Paul Kettler, I texted my cousin Paul Mullaney, who is in the band. I texted Noelle, thinking Noelle was going to like pass up on it, but she was kind of like a dream member. So I texted my cousin, I texted my friend Aaron, I texted my friend Dustin. I texted a bunch of people on a drunken evening saying, hey, we're going to be doing this band without Paul Kettler. We want to have another singer, lead guitar player, and another rhythm guitar player. We want to come back as a four piece. Funny enough, like all these people came back and said, yes.
Awkward.
I felt like such an asshole. So our first show back was in Minneapolis, and we played like six shows with four guitar players because I didn't have the heart to say no to Paul. Thankfully and naturally, like just two of the members were like, this is completely overkill for pop punk. You don't need to have four guitar players. And we don't want to tour extensively as a, you know, six member band. And I was like, okay, cool. So it just naturally, like I got lit off the hook from that error. You know, what I should have done is texted people individually, but like, I am such an impatient person that like, when you give me a project, I am going to do everything possible in 20 minutes. So if you're like, hey, I need you to find me a backup guitar player, I'm going to text like all 20 of my friends that I know can play guitar really well. Not knowing that like, oh, that means like 15 of them are going to say yes. And then I'm going to have to like turn every single person down. In a nutshell, that's the entire transition.
Awesome. Cool. That's going to move on to like the recording studio and recording the album. I really like I love Head Full of Sticks. I think it's a great album. It's the first Tight Wire album I heard. And then I was like, instantly, like, I need to have everything by this band immediately. But luckily, the 21 album before, you're welcome. Where did you record the album and what was it like in the studio? Because it sounds so good. It's like really tight, really clean. What was it like recording?
It was really eclectic. The weirdest recording experience through any recordings I've ever done. It was done completely backwards. So I like I said, during quarantine, I was living in Boston. When Parker and I, you know, had talked to Paul and decided that we were going to continue the band without him, I started recording my parts. Which meant I was recording to a click track, guitars, and bass, because I am not a great drummer. So I was recording everything. I had like a drum program machine. And so I programmed drums to the speed that I wanted them to be. And I recorded all the guitars, all the bass, all of the... all of our songs have like little weird intricate like organ parts underneath the guitars that kind of like, you know, are peppered in there as like texture. And then I did all the singing, and then we actually recorded drums last. Well, not last, but we recorded drums after, and then I went back through and I re-recorded my bass. Noelle joined the band late. We scrapped a bunch of my vocal parts and went back through and recorded her vocal parts. All in all, it took almost 2.5 years to record this record, which is insane. Wow. Because it's 18 minutes worth of music.
Yeah.
Right? But it took us 3 years because we were going through this awkward transitionary period, and we really didn't know what the next step was going to be or what was going to happen. But, you know, we liked the songs enough to like record them. I feel the worst for our engineer. His name's Xander Moser. He works out of a rad studio that he built himself in Northeast Minneapolis called Tree Speak Studios. We worked him to the core because, I mean, 5 of those songs were recorded in the first 6 months, and then we didn't record something else for like another year and a half. So he had to go in and all the while, like, you know, I went through a divorce. So the place I was recording in Boston, all of a sudden I was recording in my bedroom. So he had to go and try to like make all that shit sound cohesive, because a lot of it was recorded in a bedroom and a lot of it was recorded in a studio in Boston. He is someone that I'll probably work with forever because for some reason he can make, you could record a whole record in a bedroom and he can make it sound like you recorded a $100,000 record in the studio. He's so good at mixing, but the tightness and everything just comes from like the pure intricacies of like, we recorded a lot of guitar parts. I was meticulous in the way of writing and recording parts.
It sounds so, it plays really well, like as a, like from front to back. You'd never guess that it was kind of such a long process and so broken up. It sounds so good.
Thank you very much.
And sort of to piggyback on that, I've heard that the song One Foot in the Grave actually has a long formation period where from the demo to final version, it took a long time to get that one together.
It was the last song recorded and written for the project. It started out as like that chorus. I think I was listening to a podcast with a comedian, Joey Diaz. He said something. He was like, "Dog, I always got one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel." And I was like, that's kind of a silly line. So I wrote it in a notebook. And then I wrote the chorus. But then I just I didn't know what to do with it. So I just had this chorus idea. I have one foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel. And I had it like in a voice memo. We were going to put out the record with just 11 songs. But Toby from our record label was like, dude, this is a 15-minute record. You have to at least try to put another song on it, please, for the love of God. Like, it can't be 15 minutes. And I was like, okay. I just remember one night, I don't know what happened, but it all fell into place. I came up with the intro, the verse. Like, that's why the song is literally, it's an intro, it's a verse. And then it's just the chorus repeated, because I was like, I need to write this song because we're about to finish this fucking record. And I was like, normally, like, I would be disappointed. I'd be like, this song needs to have at least 2 verses and it needs to be extended. But I was like in such a panic, and I was like, I was going through my voice memos in my phone. Like, can I find anything I can work with? And that was the one that came up, and I had written it like 2 years in the past. But that's why I always tell people, wow, like, even if you don't really love something that you're writing, put it in your voice memos and always transfer your voice memo data over to your next phone. Because I have stuff that's from cool, like 2012 in my phone right now. And sometimes I go back and I'm like, I didn't get it at the time I wrote it, but you know what? Now I know what to do with it. And it was just, it was one of those prime examples of like, oh, I wrote it 2 years ago, or I wrote this part 2 years ago, and now I know, or I think I know exactly what to do with it.
Awesome. I've seen us kind of like talking about the album in kind of like detail, like musically and stuff. I wanted to cover the album artwork. I can see it's like the same artist that did the 6 Feet Deep album artwork as well. What's the kind of idea behind it? Because I really like that kind of illustration style. It looks kind of like a woodcut or a lino cut or something. Yeah, I just really like the design. It's really kind of illustrative and pretty. It's kind of like 90s DIY kind of flyer vibes as well. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up. Also, you guys did your research, which is rad, because 95% of every podcast, I've been doing podcasts almost every single day this like last couple weeks, and you guys are asking questions that I actually am like not having to like dig through my brain for. So good on you guys. You fucking, you know how to run a fucking podcast or an interview. You guys are rad. Thank you. Like the whole thing behind Tightwire is like, we decided on the black and white thing. I'm partially colorblind. It was like my job to do a lot of the graphic stuff in the beginning of the band. I was like, you know, it's easier for me to understand hard black and white without shading. So I was like, let's make this band. Everything we do is going to be like some form of black and white. Mm-hmm. And we still keep on that path. Sometimes we get a little crazy and add a color here and there. I love black and white because I know what I'm looking at. I think it just kind of looks cool and punk. So it started there, but with the artwork, it's our friend CM Dugan, who we call Chris, but his artist name is CM Dugan. He's an amazing graphic designer. We met at a house show at some point in our lifetime, and we just nerded out over graphic design, and I thought all the stuff he was doing was really cool. So he was the first person we thought of when we came out with 6 Feet Deep. I was like, I want Dugan to do it. And Dugan created these two characters. I think only one of them we've named is Iggy. Iggy is based off of Igor, and it's the same two characters from the first record.
That's awesome.
It is Iggy, and then the dude that kind of looks like a scarier Ronald Reagan. they were like exhuming a casket from a grave, right? That's the first artwork. And then us creating this next one, I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to do like almost like a comic book type thing where it's frame for frame. So it adds like some sort of collector value where like, so all of our records are going to be different shades of like grayscale or black and white, but it's always going to have the same two characters. So they were exhuming the body in the first record. The second record, they now have completely taken the body out, and they're they're in a laboratory of some sort. They're cutting its head off and taking all the worms and bullshit or whatever out. And, you know, I don't know what we're going to do for the next record, you know, but I was like, every record we come out with, it's going to be a new snippet in a storyline. So as long as we're a band, it's going to be like that. That was like, all right, we're going to create, cause we're all like nerds. We all love comic books. We all love stuff like that. So in a weird way, every record we come out with, it's going to be a new snippet in the storyline of whatever the fuck is happening. And we don't know what's happening next at this point, but all we know is, they pulled a body out of the ground and now they're cutting its fucking head off in a laboratory. What are they going to do with it next? We don't even know. But
that's awesome.
You know, the record number 3 will get you a little bit further.
That's really cool. I was wondering that because I was looking at the 2 album covers just before we started the call, and I was like, I wonder if it's going to be like an ongoing thing, because you don't usually see like bands taking the same artwork or the same artist on for like 2 different things, and especially when they kind of look kind of like they're related, like the designs. So yeah. I was wondering if you were going to kind of go ahead and do like a sort of story ongoing thing with it, kind of like a Young Frankenstein kind of deal. So
right, exactly. You could relate it to Young Frankenstein or Frankenstein, like the traditional tale, but like, you know, it never made sense to us to like do something like, you know, what band, like pop punk bands, especially in the 90s, like Blink had their Blink Bunny and MXPX has whatever the fuck that weird looking dude is.
The poking at you punk.
Descendants have Milo, you know, just a reoccurring like symbol, or like Misfits have like that skull that in a weird way are like trying to like stay with a branding thing in our mind, like something to associate our records with or our music with, but also not trying to be so straightforward with it. You know, like we're not we put the cover art on like merch and stuff like that, but like, you know, we're never gonna go to like the extent of like making one of them our Misfit skull or something like that. You know what I mean?
No, that's cool. I like it. I'm looking forward to the next one.
So what are these shows going to look like to support this record?
I think they're going to be, actually, I know they're going to be the best shows that we've ever done, because we've all dialed back on our partying. So, you know, if you've seen us in the past and we were drunk pieces of shit on stage, I'm sorry. Not that we were ever pieces of shit, but like, I probably had like, there's been several occasions where I probably had too many drinks to like get on stage and give somebody the best performance that they maybe deserved. But, you know, we've all dialed back on our behavior in like that regard of like partying too much. And so, you know, we have this tour coming up with Teenage Bottle Rocket in September. And then we are touring down to Fest with Billy Liar, and then like playing 3 shows at Fest in Gainesville, Florida, and then touring back with Make War. We're just kind of like entering, I think not only a chapter in the band, but just like a chapter in our lives where like we came to this realization where we're all like mid-30s, and it's just like we, like the party boy mentality is kind of like going away for us in our personal lives. And so I know that's going to result in better performances and more probably intelligible conversation with people that attend our shows. Every time, like, I'll put it this way. Every time I talk to a drunk person when I'm sober, I'm like, God damn it, this sucks. But I know I deserve this because I know I've been this person like 1,000 times before.
It's come back around.
Yeah. Anyways, totally. The shows are just going to be really good. We're excited to go on the road and just be the best version of our band that we possibly can be.
Just wondering if you've got any shout outs for bands that are on like your local scene that we may not have heard. If there's anyone that you kind of think we should be listening to, maybe it's someone that's like a band that sounds like Tightwire or not.
Oh yeah, of course. Well, here, I'm going to turn my phone over here to my friend Wyatt Fenner. Wyatt plays in a band called Someday Best from Wyatt. Rapid City, South Dakota. He is also one of my closest friends. I'm out here playing a show tonight I'm going to shout out the band I'm on, like playing shows on the road with right now, which is a brand new kind of DIY indie, like it, like
songwriting.
Yes. like early Tegan and Sarah type stuff, called, Sunflower Summit. And, they're super rad. We love them. And then I guess for bands that like that directly influence my songwriting or sound like us, there's a band out of Philly called Dark Thoughts.
I've listened to them today.
Oh, I'm in love with Dark Thoughts. I love that band so much.
They're great.
Dark Thoughts, yeah, I'm trying to think of like underground bands.
Copyright, so double memes.
All right, yeah. Why don't you answer this question for me? Yeah, the copyrights, the dopamines, all those bands that probably most of the people that listen to your podcast already know, but we love them. Aim at Your Enemies is a South Side Chicago band that I think are really sweet. They also play in other bands called the Glow Ups. And I guarantee the second we get off this call, I'm going to think of every single band I should have said on this, but
that's the way it always is, isn't it? Yeah. Love
D4 though.
Yeah. But like the best advice I can give you is listen to DIY bands, listen to Scrounger. Scrounger, we tragically lost a Minneapolis punk rocker, in a mass shooting at a house show a couple of weeks ago. And he was such a sweet guy. And he played in a band called Scrounger. And I'm pretty sure you can find all their music on anywhere that you would find music. So listen to Scrounger because, he died an untimely death, in a targeted mass shooting at an LGBTQ plus punk house just a couple of weeks ago in South Minneapolis. And also I know this is like not what you were asking, but I'll just say there's still GoFundMes and stuff like that for that. The house was called Nudie Land. Rolling Stone has done an article on it. So if anybody's listening and they have even $2 to provide for healthcare, because, you know, punk rockers, especially like house show punks and stuff, probably don't have health insurance. So there are still live GoFundMes for the Nudie Land shooting. And yeah, if you just look up Nudie Land on Google, you will find everything you need to know about that tragedy that happened in our hometown just a couple weeks ago.
Definitely want to support one another. Tane, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. This has been a lot of fun getting your insights on the record. We both love the record, so it's been fun to hear all about how it came together.
Album. I love it.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This has been a blast, and I'm sorry for my ADHD and like over explaining things.
The more detail, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, Tane, thank you. We'll
see you
soon.
Yeah, thank you guys. Take care.
Bye.
Take care.
Tonight we're going to a party. Tonight we're going to a show. Tonight we're going to drink some whiskey. Yeah, everybody, here we go.
I would like to thank Tane for coming on the podcast today to talk about Head Full of Snakes. I'd like to thank Lara for joining me, assisting in this interview. I would like to thank Katie Hovland, Katie Hovland PR, for the hookup with Tight Wire. I would like to thank Krista Makes from Less Than Jake for the theme music. Finally, I would like to thank all of you. Thank you so much for listening to Talking Records. We appreciate your ears. Please check us out on social media. All right, everybody, take care.